hope you guys aren't too tough a crowd. Alright, so I've been working on developing this program for the past year or so with Dr. Wolfgang Reddert, who is the residency director of the pediatrics program at Georgetown, and a great friend. So today, the health of a formerly isolated community can rapidly impact the livelihood of people in geographically distant locations. The HIV and avian flu pandemics and the emergence of multi-drug resistant tuberculosis demonstrate that neither distance nor wealth alone guarantee a disease-free existence. Epidemics that begin as localized health problems quickly propagate along transnational and intercontinental roadways, shipping lines, and flight routes, linking all levels of society as the forces of supply and demand and human migration play out on a worldwide scale. Healthcare workers need to consider the social, economic, and political consequences and impact of disease in a global context. We know that comparable pathologies affect populations with substandard living conditions, regardless of location. So it's therefore of great importance for physicians and those in training to be physicians to understand the issues affecting health of people across the world, from the projects of Southeast DC, which is pretty close to home for me, and to prisons in Russia, from favelas in Rio de Janeiro, to Iraqi communities destroyed by war. Sorry, I'm getting familiar with this PowerPoint business. Global health matters are particularly relevant to clinicians in the District of Columbia and the surrounding region. There are a few other places where health professionals serve such a diverse patient population presenting with an equally varied array of diseases and sociocultural backgrounds. The impact of both global and national inequalities is particularly evident in DC, it being the headquarters to a host of international development organizations, political representatives from across the globe, the World Bank, and the United States government. As such, Georgetown University is uniquely placed to play a role in the development of a healthier world population by educating its medical students and faculty members about issues in global health. So during my first 2 years of Georgetown, it became quite apparent that some aspect of education in global health needed to be integrated into the curriculum. But I had to propose, or before proposing this change, I had to show that there was indeed a desire for it beyond my own from the student body and faculty, and then figure out if there was a feasible way of integrating it or incorporating it into the general medical curriculum. This is a photo from Kalisha, which is a township in outside of Cape Town. So I began by coming up with specific goals and objectives that I thought needed to be met, which always stressed the interdisciplinary nature of global health, as well as its local relevance. This is also in Kalisha. So whatever program I would suggest would also require that the students make use of our community resources, be academically challenged, and contribute to the rapidly growing field of global health, both immediately through service as well as in the bigger picture through publications. This was in a Dalit village outside of Chennai. And this picture always makes me laugh because this little girl insisted on having her picture taken but would never, ever smile. So my initial thought was to use another medical school's global health curriculum as an outline for our own and kind of tweaking it to make it fit for Georgetown. But after reading every ongoing certificate program, area of concentration, whatever you want to call it, at U.S. medical schools, I really wasn't able to find anything that fit with the preset goals and objectives that I had set for Georgetown. So I ended up just making my own. So as I began to outline what would become the Global Health Certificate Program, or GHCP, I had to ask myself a few questions. So first, how can we meet our goals and objectives without a budget, since there definitely is no money just sitting around in a pot for this kind of work at Georgetown or anywhere else, as far as I know. But So to do this, we would have to make use of the resources available free to cost in the community as well as from Georgetown. I'll go into a little more detail with that in a moment. And secondly, how was this program going to stand apart from similar ones at other schools? For one, the certificate program is based on measured desire. So in February of this year, working with Dr. Andrew Suchoki at the University of Cincinnati, I surveyed the medical school on their perspectives on global health, their experiences in this area, what their limitations to being more involved in global health work, as well as specifically what level of interest they had in this proposed global health certificate program would be. In addition, this is also unique in that it's integrated into the general medical curriculum and includes a capstone research project, which is completed during the fourth year of medical school. And the GHCP will utilize the innumerable human resources that we have right at our fingertips in DC for its contributing faculty. This was from a nutrition center, also in one of the townships outside of Cape Town, where they brought all of the HIV positive children to monitor their growth and development during childhood. So the results of the survey were overwhelmingly supportive and encouraging. We found that greater than 90% of responding students were maybe to very interested in participating in the proposed GHCP, despite the fact that 60% of them had never had an international experience before. Additionally, 80% of students believe that some degree of global health education needed to be incorporated into all 4 years of general medical education. More than 98% believed that an understanding of global health topics was somewhat too extremely applicable in providing care for underserved domestic U.S. populations. And most reported that international training would be very useful in developing cross-cultural and communication skills, heightened disparity awareness, increased clinical confidence, and an understanding of the importance of thorough history and physical exam skills. And these are all aspects of clinical performance that students tend to struggle with. So the resulting GHCP is a longitudinal curriculum, four-year curriculum, integrated into the general curriculum, made up of 7 modules, and each module reflects topic students ranked of greatest importance in their response to the survey. The integrated nature allows students to complete objectives of both their general medical studies as well as the GHCP, killing two birds with one stone. And this was really the key aspect that I took into account when I was developing this, because being a medical student, I know how much time I don't have, and I know how much money I don't have. So those are two things that really played a role in this. Secondly, if at completion of the program a certificate was to be awarded, I saw the need for a scholarly contribution in return in the form of a research project. So not only would a research project allow for individualized pursuit of particular interests, but its quality would serve as a testament to the integrity and demand of the GHCP, which would then be recognized by residency programs and later in the training physician's career. Third, Georgetown faculty and mentors from the DC community really play an integral role in the success of the GHCP and are really one of its greatest highlights. Lectures for the Global Health Seminar Series are drawn from a pool of Georgetown faculty from the schools of business, law, foreign service, nursing, public policy, and from across the medical school departments. Experts from local organizations such as the Global Health Council, the World Bank, USAID, as well as all of the area universities are also featured lecturers. And also of note, all of the lecturers that I've contacted to this point and who have lectured for the past 2 years in the Global Health Seminar Series have expressed interest in serving as mentors to students for the first 3 years of the program. So there are some general requirements that apply to all 4 years of the program, and these encourage students to build their knowledge and skill sets independently. And some of the examples that I've included here are, So completion of some of these USAID Global Health Center courses, and I don't know if anyone's seen these, but they're really great. They're aesthetically pleasing. They take about 2.5 to 3 hours to complete each one. Right now they have about 16 in different topics, but they have plans to expand them to, I think, 42 in the next year. And Dr. Rennert, actually, since I introduced him to these courses, he's used them in some of his practicums for other work that he does and has had really good results. Another one would be encouraging students to engage in more advocacy-related work, so lobbying on the Hill, and attendance at these language courses that are run out of GW. And everything that I've mentioned here is free. These language courses are incredible. They're run by volunteers. They're available at all different times of the day, all different nights of the week and the weekend. And I know someone that did one of the courses in Portuguese before she went to work in Brazil. I myself did it as a touch-up in Kiswahili before I went back to East Africa last summer, and they're just really great. And I think they serve an example of how this kind of work really is possible free of charge and with no budget available. So this is a visual overview of the curriculum. And it focuses, this first year is the foundational year, and it really just touches on general aspects of global health. And then each module kind of builds on the previous one. And this allows the student to individualize their education as they become more familiar with certain topics. And if you can just keep this idea in mind as I go through some of the highlights of each of the modules. This is a photo from a weekend workshop outside of Santarém, Brazil, where I did some work. And so this specific workshop was in safe sex, but they do them in all sorts of topics: diarrheal disease, breastfeeding practices, how to recognize tuberculosis. And basically, this is kind of what Lydia mentioned, but with a needs assessment. So what they do is they do a needs assessment of the entire region outside of Santarém and look at what major health problems there are, what people want more education on, and then they work with the Ministry of Health to develop some materials to conduct these workshops. Then they go to the most proximal communities and do these weekend-long workshops, and at the completion of them, the participants are given an exam, and those who excel at them are then given the same materials that we use to conduct their workshop to then go on to a more distant community and conduct the same workshop. So it brings the education a step further than we were able to achieve given the 3-hour commute in, you know, a 4x4 truck through the Amazon. But okay, so this first module encourages the student to reflect on their motivations in global health work and develop a critical perspective of their role. This module also involves participation in a service learning project, which all first-year students complete. GHCP students would be assigned to a specific location in one of DC's many international neighborhoods. The second module explores the relationship between economics and health across the globe with respect to time. In preparing presentations for the group on this subject, one of the tools students use is gapminder.com, which many of you are probably familiar with. This module fulfills another general requirement, and students will participate in an international health course taught by various GHCP faculty. This is a photo from one of the quilombos. Quilombos are isolated communities of the descendants of runaway slaves. They're generally found along the northern part of Brazil, but there are similar communities. In Jamaica, for example, they're called Maroon communities. But what I was specifically interested in when I was working here was the role of the development of a mining corporation that was, you know, down the river from this community and how it affected the health of three different Quilombo communities. For example, when they built a supermarket, how that affected the continuity of farming practices, as well as prostitution became pretty popular around the actual mining sites. And so we saw the development or the introduction of STIs into these communities, which hadn't been there before. So the third module explores similarities and differences between underserved communities across the world and the U.S. Much of the coursework for this module is integrated into the ambulatory care practicum, which all Georgetown students participate in. JHCP students will be placed at refugee and immigrant community clinic sites for this course and will research health beliefs in a specific enclave in the U.S. and compare them to those found in the mother country, amongst other activities. And I know I mentioned this, but these are really just a few highlights from each of the modules. For every module, there's a complete reading list, there's small group activities, discussion-based groups, but there's really no time to get into that right now. I think this is a good picture to illustrate why diarrheal diseases are still such a problem in many of these communities. So at this point, if you can remember the pyramid, we're halfway through the second year. And by this point, we expect students to be comfortable enough to assess a health-related problem in a particular community and begin to develop a plan for addressing it. A focus here will be to consider what solutions have already been suggested, why they failed, and how their own novel ideas are more likely to be successful and sustainable. This is one of Dr. Rennert's patients in South Africa. Dr. Rennert is actually from Germany, but worked in Johannesburg and other parts of South Africa for about 10 years. And unfortunately, she passed away about a week after this picture was taken. So the fifth module recognizes the limited time students have during their third-year rotations and allows them to prepare for their individual clerkship exams while completing GHCP requirements. Students will complete online cases which reflect clinical situations commonly found in low-resource environments and will push them to consider alternative solutions to the ones they normally might institute at a university hospital setting. So again, challenging them to consider the day-to-day obstacles faced by healthcare workers in other places. In the sixth module, students will compose a research question of personal interest and, with the help of a faculty mentor, develop an academically and scientifically sound method of answering it, given the constraints present in the location abroad that they'll be doing their work in. Students will carry out their research during one of their elective months in the fourth year as part of the seventh module. These are just some cute kids in one of the Kilomo communities. This family has sickle cell disease, which is more prevalent in these communities, understandably. They all do pretty well, which is good. So the final module is meant to tie together all of the work from the general and GHCP education from the first 3 years of medical school. At the completion of their elective research month, students will work with their faculty mentor back home to prepare a poster and paper for presentation at a global health research symposium, which is held before graduation, and they'll be expected to submit their work for publication. This module fulfills the research requirement of all Georgetown students. And so, having completed all of the modules and the general requirements, participants will then be awarded their certificate at the same time that they get their MD degree at graduation. So some of our other goals focus on sustainability. So establishing a global health resource center, which would provide a place for students and faculty to, to come up with more ideas on expanding the program, or if they are interested in a specific area of work, trying to match them up with a mentor or a faculty member who has experience in that area. I'd also like to collaborate with other health sciences schools, since there are so many schools in the DC area, and establish a board of directors. So when I finished writing the proposal, I felt like I'd accomplished the most difficult part of this process, but really that was like sitting on the beach compared to trying to get it implemented. But things are moving in the right direction. We plan to have a meeting with the interested faculty members within the next month to give them an update of where we stand with the GHCP, as well as what meetings we've had with the deans, which to this point are zero. We've had several set up with the dean of the medical school and some of the deans in the academic departments, but unfortunately they have all been canceled, which has been unfortunate and out of our control. But everyone is well aware of this proposed program, and I've had comments made to me about it. So I know that some people are for it, some people are against it, but you know, we're working with everyone who's not in favor. In our favor is the new curriculum. So they have plans to completely revamp the preclinical years and starting with a new incoming class. So it really gives us a good platform to push this while things are kind of new and fresh with the general curriculum. And also we just got word of a multi-million dollar grant that's been offered to the undergraduate university for development in their global health work. So Dr. Renner has been meeting with the vice president of the university to try to collaborate on some projects with the medical school as well as the undergraduate university. So overall, I think we're in a very good place to have this put into play. It's really a matter of convincing the administration that this is a worthwhile program, even though it's not going to be bringing them more money, which seems to always be the problem. So I think that with all of the faculty and student support, as well as the support from the health sciences community, we have a very good platform to be working with and making this push at Georgetown. And this is one of many beautiful sunrises on the Amazon. And these are just some people I'd like to thank. So, and thank all of you for coming.
Thank you, Emily.